We are continuing our series called The Discipleship Pathway, unpacking how we do discipleship here at Anthem, how discipleship continues to be and becomes even more and more our core competency as a church. We want to help you take your next steps in Christ. We want you to be able to identify those steps, to have support around you and encouragement in taking those steps, to have practical tools and equipping for that process. Last week, Nick unpacked, who's our worship leader up here this morning, unpacked the role of the Sundays, this, what we're doing right now, the gathering of God's people on Sundays. What is the role of Sundays in our discipleship? This week, we're going to be looking at the role of groups. We saw last week one half of that phrase that Paul has, that the church is to be a pillar and buttress of truth, that Sundays are something that stabilizes the pillars of truth in our life. This week, we're going to look at how groups, relationships with one another, serve as a buttress in our lives. Let me paint a picture of why this is important. Just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, there's this tiny little village called Austin. And in 1909, a paper mill moved to Austin. And in order to just run the machinery of this paper mill, they decided to block with a dam the local waterways, and they built this dam called the Austin Dam. This was called in newspapers the dam that could never break. The problem was, it did. In 1911, as a storm came in and the waters built up and the pressures bore down on that dam, it eventually buckled under the pressure, broke. And as a result, it destroyed the entire town of Austin, Pennsylvania. 78 unsuspecting souls were lost. And with it also were washed away all of those new jobs, all of the opportunities. Now, what went wrong? Why did this happen? Engineers later discovered that what the dam lacked was what they had pleaded with the builders to add to the dam, which were buttresses. Buttresses are these. They are those triangle-shaped wedges that offer counter-pressure. When the pressure builds up on the other side of the dam, it offers counter-pressure that leans into the dam and keeps it from falling, collapsing, crumbling. Why do I share this example? Paul is giving a very clear picture of why we need buttresses in our lives. What Paul's describing here are these the horizontal relationships in the body of Christ, others who operate like buttresses in our life. See, we're like a dam where we believe that just because of our individual strength, that just because of our resolve, our insights, whatever it is in us, we think that we can stand alone, but at some point as the pressures of life, as the troubles of life, as the storms of life, the waters build, the pressures build up. At some point, we will need buttressing. We will need others in our life who offer kind of that counter pressure, that support in our life, that keep us from collapsing underneath the pressure. So this morning, we're going to use this image of buttressing as a way of explaining why we do groups and how we do groups at Anthem. Because it's not just, I think, as I'll come back to, we all have kind of, if you've been around churches, you've heard of like small groups and you've heard of these, and it's kind of like, okay, I understand the idea of groups, but really what I want to get to is, what are they meant to be? What purpose do they serve? What's the essence of these relationships that we need? Because it's not just enough to just have a group of people around us. We need specifically relationships that are intentional in buttressing the truth, in buttressing our faith as we follow Christ. So first, what we're going to look at is what are these buttressing relationships? What are they made up of? We're going to look at two simple components. And then second, we're going to look at what I'm going to call pseudo-buttresses. Many of us have had experiences in groups where we're like, have I experienced that? Have I not? There are a lot of pseudo-buttress relationships, pseudo-relationships that don't really provide that buttressing that Paul's talking about. And then lastly, we're just going to get really practical and just talk about how do you pick a group? How do you pick a group? So let's pray and dive in. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, I feel how perfect that picture is that you've given us of a need in my life for both pillars underneath that my life is built on. And Lord, also the need for others around me who lend that support, who lean in and point me towards truth, who meet me in needs, who literally at times, Lord, we just need a shoulder that we can lean on when our legs buckle underneath us because of just sadness or overwhelm or whatever comes in our life, a shoulder to cry on. Lord, would you give us clarity on this? Lord, would you give us clarity on next steps to take so that, Lord, we would be a people who have buttresses in our life, life-giving relationships that point us towards you so that, Lord, when the pressures mount, we would stand because of the gift of others around us. And so, Lord, would you point us the way forward? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So what are these buttressing relationships? I know when the term buttress is not something probably you probably didn't have on your bingo card today for church, right? Like what are buttresses? What is this thing? Well, look again at verse 14 and 15. He's writing to Timothy, again, who's kind of a protege, and he's a younger pastor, and he's saying, hey, in the church, I'm reminding you of what you need, what the church needs. We saw a few weeks ago, this is kind of like he's talking about the structure of what we need in the church, but also just the essence of what we need in the relationships in the church. And he says, I hope to come to you soon. Paul's hoping to visit them soon. But I am writing these things to you so that if I delay, so if I don't come, you know what is most vital. He says, so if I delay, so make sure you do these things. You may know how one ought to behave in the household of God. It's an interesting phrase. Which is the church of the living God, a pillar and a buttress of truth. So the first thing about a buttress relationship is that it reinforces the truth. It's a buttress of truth, as Paul says. And specifically, Paul's not just talking about people in your life who come along and they're like, this is what's true. You got to think this. But what's interesting, he said the purpose of why we would hold to truth is not just as an intellectual exercise, not to just have things that we should just say, but it would affect how we live. Because notice what Paul says is, so you would know how to behave in the household of God. In other words, what Paul is saying is that this is a truth that would be worked into your lives, not just into your mind, but down into your heart and into your hands and into your everyday living, that it would transform you. We all know that the phrase is, we can walk or talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk. The way that you really know what someone believes, what they really hold to as true, as most valuable, as something that it can't be given up on, is how it impacts how they live. And so what Paul is saying is you need others in your life who help you not only just to say the right things and kind of parrot what they say, but in also people who come alongside you and kind of reinforce that truth and point you towards it in a way that it changes how you live, that you're able to take hold of the life that God has given you. I've shared this story before. I remember when this really hit me, because it felt like it hit me when he said it. I had a Paul in my life. His name was Paul Buttersworth. I still love that. It's one of the best, like, Buttersworth, right? It just feels warm and cozy. So Paul, we worked together at Starbucks. This was back when I was in school. And and a customer had just left the counter, and he could tell, Paul could tell, I was very pleased with myself. I think I had just gotten done. Somebody found out I was in seminary. They asked me some question about the Bible, and I think I was very pleased with myself with how I had responded, which never happens anymore. But at the time, Paul could tell. And Paul came up, and he was a friend. He went to the same church as I, and so he had permission to say what he was about to say. He said, Matt, there's no one around. He said, Matt, you know, you're really great. I've noticed you're really great at, like, answering questions about the Bible. But, man, you really don't love people well. And I said, shut up. No. I was like, wait, what? And he said, you know, he just very graciously unpacked this, that he had seen this tendency in my life to, like, give a lot of answers and be very pleased with myself. And he could see this kind of character developing in me that was kind of pugnacious, and then also at times that it just didn't manifest in how I treated others. He pointed out things, and I was young in my marriage, how he had seen me interact with my wife. He pointed out ways I was interacting with some other individuals at church. He pointed out just some of the tendencies that I had with even just customers who were just above the level of stranger in my life. And he very graciously pointed these things out. And I'll tell you, that actually, it changed the trajectory of my life, that one statement. And his willingness, and here's the thing. So the truth aspect of a buttressing relationship is, here's the phrase. It says, I will go there. I'll go there. Like, when I need to, I will go there. And here's the thing. You and I, we all need people in our lives who are just willing to go there. Who are willing to point out when we're living in a way that's destructive, when we're treating others in a way that's unchristlike. When we're using others as means to our end rather than serving them, like not having a loving attitude. We all need a few trusted individuals in our life who are just willing to go there. So the first aspect of buttressing relationships is that they are a buttress of truth. But the second aspect is that, as well as truth, you need this other aspect of grace as well in these relationships. See, Paul points out here, he says, that you would know how to behave in the household of God. Paul's talking here about a family. He's not saying, like, hey, if you don't act a certain way, you're out of the household, right? He's saying you're in this house. You belong to this family. There is a security that you have here. There is something that has happened. And you're not, and you don't have to be fearful of losing it. This relationship isn't a transaction. If you don't behave this way, I'm out. But instead, it's a relationship that's constant. It's a relationship that's there for the long haul. It's a relationship that looks for our best. This is why then Paul in verse 16, he unpacks this behavior by saying, great indeed we confess is the mystery of godliness. He says, I get it. It's really a mystery, this godliness that you're to live into, to behave, live out. But what does he then go to? This mystery, what we see, and he gives a poem about the incarnation of Jesus. He says, see, this holiness, this godliness that you're to grow into and live your life in accordance with, it's been secured because Jesus, one, has shown the way. Jesus is the moral exemplar. He has shown us God in human form, what it looks like to live the true human life, you could say. Discipleship is just apprenticeship in becoming truly human again. It's following Jesus and learning from him what it means to truly be someone who images God in the way God intended. But also, Jesus is the one who secures. He's not just the moral exemplar, he's also the sacrifice, the atoning sacrifice, who also then forgives, who removes our sin, removes the penalty of it, and then offers us his righteousness, his grace, his forgiveness. And then we together take hold of that and we sing that over one another. We're there with one another. See, a buttress in your life, a buttressing relationship, doesn't just stop at, I'll go there. A buttressing relationship also says, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'll journey alongside you. I'll be there in your weak moments. I'll be there to celebrate the moments of victory and of strength. And I'll be there, though. I'm not going anywhere because you have a bad day. When there are times that we will wrong one another, not if we will, we will. And when that comes, I will move towards forgiveness. I won't store up bitterness. It's a relationship that both says, I'll go there when we need to go there, but I will also be there. Both truth and grace. And the question is, do you, in the midst of, as pressures in life build up, as the storms of life come, as you go through different stages of life, from some of you are in school and the stresses that come at that stage of life when you're figuring out dating and you're figuring out looking for a spouse perhaps or starting a career and how to pick a major and launching in and building a life. And then also some of you are in a stage like me where you're married and you're having kids and there are different unique pressures in that stage. And then some of you are in that next stage where now your kids are getting, you know, they're getting to high school and my kids are moving into that age and I'm realizing there are a whole different series of storms on the like there's a whole different season there and things that you're facing. And that kind of midlife of figuring out career and what's next. And then others of you are in that stage then where your parents are aging and dying and you're empty nesting and you're figuring out how to invest that legacy stage of your life. Some of you are rounding the corner towards that last stage when you know that death is around the corner. All of these in different phases of life, they're different kinds of storms, they're different kinds of pressures, but in each of these stages, we need others around us who are willing to lean in and say, I'll go there when we need to go there, but I will also be there. Don't give up. Keep going. Do you have a few relationships like that? True buttressing relationships that when you know, when you fall flat on your face, you know they're not going to go anywhere. You also know when you start swerving off the path and you start living however you want that they're actually going to go there. Before we talk about how, you know, what are the different ways you can get involved in a group here at Anthem, I just want to take a step back and also acknowledge that for many of us, we've experienced groups that I would call pseudo-buttresses. And these kind of confuse us because we've had all kinds of different experiences. And I want to give kind of a grid to help us make sense of some of the experiences we've had and also what essentially it's missing the mark of what true buttressing is. Many of us, when I say the phrase small groups, it triggers something in us. Because we've had an experience, some of us have, like we hear it and we're like, yeah, I love, like you're in a group right now and you love being in that group and this will just be hopefully something that you'll go, okay, here's some things I can lean into and grow in and I can go further in, maybe at times going there and also at times lean into to just being there and being consistent. But also we've had experiences of groups that are kind of missing the mark. And the way I want to put this is, have you ever heard, I remember somebody once said this to me. Matt, what you really think is true comes after the but, okay? So I had this tendency to say things like, for instance, like, I'm sorry that I gossiped, but you really deserved it, right? Now, what I really think is true is not really I'm sorry, it's you deserved it, right? What is really true comes after the but. And I think that oftentimes we might say, yes, I want to be, like you hear this, you see the image of this buttress that we can be one in his life, and you're like, man, I want to be a buttress in other people's lives. I want people to be a buttress in my life. But I don't really want to go there. But I don't really want to let anyone go there. I'll be a buttress, but I'm not going to make the sacrifices to be there. Or I'm not going to let anyone in. See, often what we're experiencing in relationships, the truth of it comes after the but. So here's a way to think about this, because we just saw truth and grace are two vital ingredients for any kind of a buttressing relationship. So I'm going to call these pseudo-buttresses, playing off the word of but, and play off that to kind of describe some of the ways some of the groups we've experienced, making sense of them, and then how we can move what we need to grow in. So the first one is a group that is low truth and low grace. Low truth and low grace. I'm going to call these the butterflies. Right? The other day, it's spring. I saw my first butterfly. It was out, and it's just kind of flitting from flower to flower, right? And as it was flitting from flower to flower, I realized this is a picture of what oftentimes in relationships we assume really what we need, which is really we just need a social group. We really just need a group that we can bounce around to, that when things get hard, we just bounce to the next one. We bounce around maybe until we just find people who it's easy to connect with. There are also groups that usually don't go really deep in truth, because at the end of the day, truth isn't what brings us together. What brings us together is usually affinity, maybe something, a demographic that we share in common. And what happens oftentimes is, and look, everyone needs a good party, right? Like, we can have many relationships that are kind of like the acquaintances that we have throughout our daily life. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those. What I'm saying, though, is we do need more than that in our lives. But oftentimes what we settle for is we go, oh, I've got a lot of relationships that I just kind of flit around to, jump around to, I'm not really committed to, and we never really get beneath the surface. And here's what happens over time, because at the end of the day, these groups are saying, listen, I'll be in your life, but when times get tough, we won't say it, but I'm not going to be there. When you don't reflect well back on me or give me the good times, I'm not going to be there. If there's something, a way that I see and something you say, then I'm not going to go there. And what happens is over time for us, if we don't allow individuals to go there in our lives, we often wonder, do I really belong here? Are they really being honest with me? It actually, over time, is deeply disorienting to only have butterfly relationships in our life. And so are you right now in relationships where it's like, if I'm honest, I'm just jumping around from group to group. I'm jumping around from church to church. I'm jumping around from job to city, relationship to relationship. And maybe it's because there's not an allowance for anyone to speak truth, or on the other hand, or frankly, to call into question your narratives. And perhaps there's a pattern of that. Or on the other hand, there's just not a desire on your part to ever have to step in and sacrifice beyond what's comfortable. This is a butterfly relationship. We can have lots, again, we have lots of butterfly-level relationships in our life, but we need more. So the other one is then if we have a high grace but low truth. I'm calling it buttery. Right? Real soft. We have on our counter, we have this chunk of butter that we always use and we come to, and it's soft and it's malleable. But here's what this is. This is the kind of group where we'll go, we'll be a part of it, and we'll be there and we'll listen and we'll share. But there's kind of this implicit contract in that group that I'm gonna be able to share, I'm gonna be able to tell you and speak and kind of maybe even, to use Brené Brown's term, like a vulnerability dump. Like come in and smash and grab and come in and just take what I want and that's it. But then in the midst of it, but no, walls go up. You cannot speak to this. And what happens over time is we can actually, in this one, we can actually buttress the wrong things in one another's lives. We need environments, relationships that are safe. We need relationships that have grace, that have that sense where it's not, if you don't perform, you don't belong here. At the same time, often the mantra in these kinds of relationships is just, you do what works for you. But we all know this on one level. It's hard for us to face this when it's us. But sometimes it's not okay to stay where you are. And we need individuals in our life who we trust, who we've given permission to be able to speak into things when they see patterns in our life, to be able to go there. This is a relationship that says, I'll be there. But we won't go there. So then, what's the opposite of this? The opposite of this is, of course, high truth and low grace. And I'm going to call this the butcher. Okay? This is the group that tends to be very, maybe doctrinaire, very, very moralistic. These are the standards that we have here. These are the things that you say. I like to say in these groups, you get a lot of, you don't make disciples, you make puppets and you make parrots. And it, because you overwhelm the will of an individual and just kind of drive them by your strings and your expectations, or on the other hand, just expect them to repeat back to you what you say. And these groups feel like a butcher because, frankly, they just feel like they butcher us every time we walk in because we're not able to actually bring our lives where we're really at. There's this old, I've shared this before, an antidote in the Middle East, there was a tour bus going around, and they were explaining the dynamics of shepherding, because obviously it's a biblical concept and not something in the modern world. My guess is none of you are shepherds, right? And so we don't really understand it. And so the tour bus driver said, hey, look at that. There's a shepherd over there in the field with this flock of sheep. And the shepherd was out front of the sheep. And he said, you can always tell a real shepherd because they're out in front of the sheep and they are calling them with their voice and leading them and kind of guiding them. There's like a both guiding them where they need to go, kind of truth, but also kind of this grace of they know the sheep know that the shepherd cares for them, so they follow him. And they were driving a little bit further, and this boy saw a flock of sheep and a shepherd behind the sheep, and it was like swinging its crook, and it's like yelling at him and driving him. And he goes, hey, look, there's a shepherd that's behind the sheep. And the tour bus driver was like, huh. So he stops, and he goes out, and he talks to the shepherd, and he comes back, and he says, and he was chuckling to himself, and he says, that actually isn't a shepherd. That's a butcher. He was driving him to the slaughter. See, it captures what normally happens in these groups, which are we drive one another with guilt. We drive one another with shame. We drive one another with kind of our implicit contracts of expectations and behavior and kind of tribal kind of phrases and signaling with words and whatnot. And we drive one another, and no one really belongs, but it feels like a butcher. And at the end of the day, it is a butcher because it butchers the root of grace, the actual empowering for change in your life. I almost called this category also buttheads because they're being buttheads usually, but two, because usually all you do in these groups is butt heads. Often these groups are very informative, but fail to be transformative. So obviously the last one is a buttressing group. A buttressing group is one, relationships are one where there's a sense, again, that I will be there. I'll be there when all of a sudden you're not able to bring, because there's a season of illness, you're not able to bring and contribute like you once could. I'm going to be there because even in the midst of your failures, even in the midst of when maybe even my relationship with you doesn't reflect well on me, even when you hurt me, I'm going to be there. But also at the same time, saying, I will go there. I won't because of my own insecurities, my own fears of being rejected, whatever the things that could play into it, that this could be lengthy unpacking kind of the psychology behind a lot of this, but at the end of the day, I'm going to lean in and I am going to go there, and we're going to need grace in one another's life in order to grow and being able to do that well. We want to be groups who are not pseudo buttresses, but are buttresses, and they are going to look very different than what's the du jour relationship of our day. A lot of our thinking and a lot of our planning is towards this. What I want to say right now, though, is I want to highlight, like in our groups, like I'm looking at Jeremy Jordan sitting right there, and him and his wife Ruth. They've been leading a group for years, and how again, I think they and them, and then Madison Wright was up here, her and her husband Brock, he's our deacon of Connect, and I think between them and their groups, they have probably delivered more meals than Blue Apron over the last 4 years in this country. Like being there and going there and the different topics. Think of the Cisco's group, I think of the Neville's. Again and again, how I hear they're not afraid to get into the hard topics and wrestle with them and talk about them. But then at the end of the day, there's kind of this big, almost like embracing still of everyone, wanting to grow together, wanting to navigate our times with truth. I think of how beautiful, like Derek Parker, who I don't know if Derek's in here right now, but Derek and his group, like wherever that guy is, there's like three or four big burly men around the guy. And he's just always pouring himself out, but yet at the same time, like they're always like hugging and crying with one another and like loving it. And I'm like, I just want to be smothered in that, right? Like I want to be in that. Like it's such a beautiful picture of really gritty masculine relationships. Real with one another. Like what I want to highlight right now is I want to encourage you because there is, I think, a culture that is emerging here that is it's hard one. It's through a lot of hard relationships. It's through a lot of like, it's through a lot of going there and also though being there through a lot of, we have navigated through everything from the COVID stuff to different things that we've gone through as a church and growth. And I just want to take a moment to highlight, praise God. Because these would all be things that are, they're nice sentiments. We want to go there, we want to be there. But I think really where it happens is in relationships with one another. And it's beautiful. It's an honor to buttress alongside you. So what I want to go to end this is I just want to give you the, like, how do I find a group here? How do I, what are the groups here? And I'm going to unpack a little bit of some things that are emerging in our model, I guess you could say, and explain it because I want you to experience those relationships. I think of the Stillies and the Todds and people who I've been in a small group with in this church and how they have been there for my wife and my kids and I, and also at times, yes, for me as a pastor, I don't float above it. I need people who go there in my life. I don't have relationships, buttressing relationships. I'm not a member of this church because it's my job. I do it because I'm a follower of Christ. I am a son of God, and I need brothers and sisters around me. It's a beautiful thing to have. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have relationships like this in my life. So how do we pick a group? One of a phrase that came up a few weeks ago, we believe that every disciple needs partners. Okay, we do believe, as a church, we believe every disciple needs partners who help them develop a plan and practices that prepare room for the power and presence of God through every phase of life. Okay, and that word partner there, that's what I mean by buttressing relationships. People who partner with you in redemption. People who partner with you in the work of grace that God is doing in your life. Next week, we're going to be looking at kind of that aspect of plan, and the next week after that, practices. But the kind of the philosophy, that chart that was just up there a moment ago, this is how we approach it. We want to create a growth environment of grace and truth. Believe the vital ingredients are that we have both grace and truth. And so the pathway structure overall is this kind of looking at through phases of life, and right now I'm not unpacking that, but just to have kind of like, where is this going? What are the materials? What's the framework for this thing? And then we also need planned steps, which again, I'm going to come back to in the next 2 weeks. Like practical steps, challenging, like what do I do next? How do I practically do this thing? And then the last one is that partner support. That's what we're talking about today. You need support. You need those around you who buttress your faith. And it's not always super spiritual. It's not always the person who's going to be looking for what's the right thing you should say, the right way you should articulate that doctrine or the what. It's not just that. We also simply sometimes, guys, I just need someone who will bring a meal when I have a baby. Like, I just need someone who, when I'm tired, will come and mow my lawn. I'm going to just start listing things you guys can come do at my house, right? Someone who will pay my utility bill this month. Just if someone got a new car, a jet, you know, like, I'm sorry. but this, you know what I mean? It doesn't have to be. We just need individuals in our life. And here's the thing. That is a tangible manifestation of God's horizontal or his vertical love and grace in our life, horizontally experienced. God wants that in our life. So I've been leading groups. This is why I'm going to give you the menu. What are kind of the options? And before saying, I just want to say, I have been in groups for now 20 years, which is crazy. When you get to a point in life when you say, I've been doing something for 20 years, and it's not like walking, it hits you. But I've been in groups for 20 years, and I've been everywhere from undergrad campus ministry to Minneapolis in a church that was starting to try to do a lot of different groups. And launched those groups. That was a very doctrinaire church and struggling through that. And then down at a church that grew from 800 to 4,000 people in the 2.5 years I was there and oversaw the groups. My wife and I, we multiplied, I think, 12 times groups in those 2 years. So oversaw there, and then was a pastor before coming here in California for 8 years, where we multiplied groups in that context. I share that to say I have, one, used every single adjective known to man, like small group, missional group, community group, gospel group, right? Like, it's just call them adjective groups. Whatever you fill in with the adjective, I've led them all. And in many different focuses and through different seasons, different societal shifts, different cultural milieus around the country. And this, and through that, and thinking through it, this is why we are landing where we're landing. Because we think there are just realities we've seen over that time as we've assessed, this is why we're moving towards this model. So the first one, the menu. So what is the menu? The menu, first, community groups and discipleship groups. So now let me say this. For SALT, if you are involved in SALT, SALT structure is going to stay the same. This is largely for community or post-college age groups, how the community side, how we do our group structure. Okay, so structure on SALT's going to stay the same. Don't worry about that. But community groups are the traditional 10-plus individuals who are in a group. This is made up of families. This is made up of kids. This is made up of male and female. And then, so that's the first one. Buttressing at a larger scale. You've got 20 plus. Some of our groups are over 30. At one point, we hit 55 in my tiny little California home, and I was like, we got to do something. We got so many folks here, right? And then we have also discipleship groups. These have been largely called growth groups as we've kind of started to roll some of those out over the last year. We're calling them discipleship groups going forward. These are 3 to 5 individuals. This is buttressing at a smaller scale. These will be male, female, separate groups. These are largely just with the individuals there. Now, let me unpack. So how do you choose between the two of these? I want to be candid and honest that there are seasons of life and different needs when one of these group structures is probably going to work better for you. And so I want to lay out what I think are a quick list of kind of the, you could call pros and cons. I don't know if that's the best way to put it, but kind of the growth opportunities and the strength, right? So the pros, for a community group, these are ones you establish family rhythms, right? Like for Lauren and I, when we were leading community groups and involved in community groups, this is really helpful for us as we were learning how to do be in a marriage and grow in a marriage with other married couples around us. As we were having other kids around us and establishing family rhythms, because we didn't grow up in families that were really discipling at that time when we were kids. Our parents came to faith later. And so we had to learn what that looked like. It was very helpful to be in those groups. Broader connection to Anthem. So you just meet a lot of people, right? You got 30 people in a group, you're just going to meet more people. That's a pro. Dynamic entry point for outsiders. These are often, because of the mass of people, it's easy to invite in neighbors. It's easy to invite in coworkers into those groups as a bridge into introducing them to Jesus. Also, it's a home context, which is a pro. It's very intimate, right? Now, the cons can be too disruptive to family patterns, right? Like, kids go to bed at a certain time, and it's like when you're there, it just causes meltdowns for 3 days afterwards, things like that. I'm being honest about that. That's a reality. We as a church are not naive to that, okay? Distracting environment, and that just means you got, for some of you, a lot of people in a room, it's distracting. New people in the room, it's distracting. If there's kids running around, it's distracting. And so you feel like you go, and you never really actually connect and have conversations. Delayed obedience. What I mean by that is these groups are at night. You talk about the implications. You've talked about a sermon, a sermon text or a Bible text, and then you've prayed. You've talked about, okay, I want to take these steps. And then what happens is then there's like 12 hours before you show up to work. You go home, you're trying to get the kids in bed, you're like, go to bed, right? And then by the time you're like, you're tired, then you wake up, you're going to work, and you've completely forgotten. Right? So there's a little bit of that delayed, like there's a gap between then immediately responding. Overwhelming social setting, that again, for some, just a number of people is overwhelming because of socially how they're wired. Heavy admin, organizing a small group. Some people go, amen, who hosts a small group. Like, it's a lot of work to have a lot of individuals in your house. So that's something that just is added to a larger group. Harder to multiply. It's just harder to multiply when you have a lot of different individuals. You have to get everyone on the same page. So let's go to discipleship groups. Pros, are intimate and vulnerable. Obviously, if there's only 3 to 5 people, it's easier to go deeper. High accountability, we'll come back to that next week. Undistracted environment, there's only 3 to 5 of you and you're all grown men, so I hope you're not distracting each other too much, right? Easily reproducible, there's only a few of you, it's easy to hand off the baton and multiply that. More adaptable to life rhythms, this is what I mean by time, day, like, hey, that's me at 6 o'clock every Monday at Starbucks. It's a lot easier to have as many people to fit in. And then immediate action steps, like let's say you usually just meet in the morning, immediately go to work, I'm going to share my faith with that coworker I just said I'm going to share my faith with, right? And then coffee shop context. So this means it's just adaptable. You can move around, you're mobile. You can move around town. Cons, family is broken up. The family's not together. You're not getting the entire family there at once, right? Marriages are separated, so you have to think about how if somebody's sharing something about the marriage and the other spouse isn't there, how do you think through that, right? Provide less connections church-wide. And so it just means you're not going to meet as many individuals in that group. Less dynamic entry point for outsiders. And that just means there are, like you're meeting at Starbucks at 6 a.m., you're going through some materials. It's a little bit harder, not impossible, but a little bit harder to, in a comfortable way, like invite in a family or whatnot. So these are just, this is just a list to begin thinking to help you go, okay, yeah, these are real realities to think through. And these group structures, these the model, the menu, is so that there are options for different stages of life. And so here's the last one, is I invite you to make a decision. I invite you to find a group. Here's the thing, both groups in this season of life, which is right for you. Now, some of you might be like, I'm industrial strength Christian, I'm going to do both. I'm going to be in a community group, and I'm going to find a, great, we'll talk about that, right? I just don't want the pressure, hear this clearly. There's not pressure to be in both. Let me say that again. There's not pressure to be in both. We'll talk about how this, the content, how that can be weaved into community groups. We'll talk about in some of that this summer. So I'm doing a little bit of like in-house stuff right now. This summer, as Nick, he's our group and worships pastor, as he is phasing into getting ready to church plant, I'll be stepping in to lead the groups. Okay, so then at that point, so community groups, I'm going to be coming back around midsummer to be unpacking and planning how we launch in the fall. But what we're going to do is in a few weeks on May 19th, okay, so if you're community side and you're interested in a discipleship group, on May 19th, we are going to have a how to launch, I don't know if we'll brand it with a better title, but how to launch a discipleship group. What does it look like? What are the contents? How do I launch that? And so if you're interested in that, that's May 19th. After the service, we're going to have that that training, that workshop. But here's the thing. No matter what group you commit to, you will at times have to go there, and you'll have to allow others to go there. You will have to be there, and you'll have to allow others to be there. There will be a commitment you will have to make. This is removing unnecessary impediments. Right? But you will have to take the steps. You will have to commit. You will have to make the sacrifices. So here's what you can do. If you're interested in a community group, I was told there are now stickers on the back of the chairs. And I looked, there's a tiny little sticker. Like, I wondered what that was. I thought a kid left it there. Nope. Somebody purposely put it there. You can scan that QR code. There's an app that you can download. And that app, one, will connect you to all the events going on at Anthem, and connect you to the various groups, and you can connect with the group leader from there. I invite you to scan that, download it, find out all the things going on at Anthem, and then also you can scan that, and you can register. Here's how to register for that D group thing. You would just register for that group, for the D group, discipleship group, discipleship pathway, and then when you register for that, you're going to get an email this coming week with signups for that event, okay? So either register for the discipleship pathway or connect with a community group, and we'll go from there. So with that, I'm just going to end with this. Invest in, no matter what, invest in finding and developing buttressing relationships. Anthem, please, I'm pleading with you, invest. We are offering some options. But invest, whether it's those options, no matter what, find buttressing relationships that help you follow Christ so that when the waters build up, when the pressures come, you would not collapse, but you would stand. and your soul would be steadfast. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and Lord, we ask that you would, Lord, just point us to the next step. Lord, whether it's taking a next step and just being intentional in a relationship, whether it's being intentional in terms of being there, literally, Lord, maybe the frequency of how often we are there, making it more of a priority. Lord, perhaps it's going there and being willing to have those conversations, ask those hard questions, or, Lord, allowing others to go there with us. Lord, would you give us grace as a body to do this well? Lord, we can't just phrase our way into this, just describe our way into this. Lord, Spirit, you have to go before us. Lord, you have to nourish us with your words so we do this well. But Lord, would you give us the grace to be a people who are a buttress to one another so that we would continue to take those next steps in Christ. Lord, until the day when you return or we return home to you, we're made fully complete in your presence. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.